Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
About to blow.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Friday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Remo. What's up, Mac? What's going on? That again. I think Mac's here now. Hey, Mac, what's going on?
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. My bad, man. I forgot to link you up, man. That's all right. So,
no problem.
I'm glad to have you on the show, bro.
Yeah, glad to be on.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to have you all on for a very special Friday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. Again, I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. And today's show, we got a packed show, a WrestleMania size show. We're gonna of course give our review on WrestleMania 40. Cody Rhodes, you know, finally finished the story. He overcame the bloodline, and you know, he made himself in put himself in the history books. We'll get into that. We'll talk about, speaking of finishing their story, Doc Gooden, you know, the star pitcher of the Mets 80s and early 90s. He, you know, he had his up and down, you know, situations that he went through on and off the field. But of course, you know, he overcame that, and finally he, you know, got his rightful place and the highest honor an organization can give a player, getting his number retired. So no one will ever wear number 16 in the history of the New York Mets, rightfully so. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about the current state of the New York Mets and the Yankees, as both teams are soaring high in the standings for both respective teams. So we'll talk about that as well. The Knicks, I mean, this is, so far, I mean, all the sports stuff, you know, our local New York sports stuff are upbeat right now. I mean, the Rangers, you know, they're going to the playoffs facing the Cavs. I mean, not the Cavs, the Capitals. And then, of course, we got the Knicks hosting the 76ers with a little bulletin board material. We got a little bit of that. And, of course, as we mentioned, we're going to wrap up the show with WrestleMania, give you all our brutally honest thoughts about the pay-per-view event, the matches, and, you know, what we thought about it overall. So if you want to talk about any of these topics or more, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, the number is 563-999-3529. So there you go. Feel free to call the number, and again, that's 563-999-3529. So again, feel free to talk about any of these topics and more, and we'd love to hear from you. But yeah, before we dive into you know, the sports talk, because, of course, on this show, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. But, unfortunately, in the entertainment side of what we do, yeah, we got some sad news, man. It was announced earlier today that Grammy-winning star and former American Idol alum Mandisa, she passed away at the very young age of 47 years old. She was, you know, found in her home in Nashville, passed away. I think they believe it was a heart attack. But, yeah, it's a very sad story, man. My thoughts and prayers go out to her family. Very sad news.
Yeah, rest in peace. I'm seeing that the details are not known yet. Where are you seeing heart attack? I don't see that. I see that they haven't disclosed what she passed away from.
Yeah, when I was watching Inside Edition, I think the person who called on the phone, called the 911, mentioned that they think it was a heart attack. But You know, like you said, I think it's too early to know what it is right now.
Yeah.
Well,
it's unfortunate.
Of course,
you know, rest in peace to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very sad. Obviously her most popular song that she came out with was Overcomer, that came out in 2013. And back in the days, a decade ago, 2013, 2014, that was like the top gospel song out there. You know, people were playing it, you know, secular world, you know, Christian music, Christian community, everybody was playing that song. It was a very popular, uplifting song, you know, about overcoming, you know. It was very classic song. And unfortunately, you know, around that time, she lost a friend to breast cancer. She went through depression and, you know, other issues. But, you know, by the grace of God, she was able to, you know, bounce back, you know, from, you know, the horrible stuff that she went through. So, hopefully, you know, I don't even know what to say, man. It's just a tragic situation.
Yeah. Young age, and my condolences go out to her family.
My thoughts and prayers go out to her family. This came out of nowhere. Like, I was watching Inside Edition with my mother and my younger sister, and they were going through the regular stuff that they talked about, you know, like the topics they're going to talk about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, you know, American Idol person, you know, alum passed away. And I'm like, wait a minute, is that Mendisa? I'm like, oh shoot, that, I think that's Mendisa, you know. And sure enough, it was her, you know. That's how I found
out. You didn't know she was on American Idol before that?
No, I knew she was on American Idol, but they said, you know, they just, you know, basically said an American Idol alum.
Mm, okay.
But they didn't say her name because, you know, in the opening thing to, like, tease, you know, the hype, you know, to make you, like, stay tuned to find out what they're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, in the opening thing, you know, that they do.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just out of nowhere. But yeah, it's very tragic. You know, rest in peace, Mendisa.
Yeah, rest in peace.
And in other entertainment news, Louis Gossett Jr., you know, iconic actor. You know, since the 70s, he was in Roots. You know, he popped up on, you know, various popular shows, The Jeffersons, Good Times, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he even starred in that movie, An Officer and a Gentleman with Richard Gere. He recently passed away at the age of 87, a Brooklyn native as well. Yeah, rest in peace. An iconic actor. We're losing so many iconic actors from way back in the golden age of Hollywood right here.
Yeah, one of the great actors. And, yeah, rest in peace. And he's one of the few guys to win didn't he win an Oscar? He won an Oscar,
I believe,
right?
So. I think he was the first black man to... Let me make sure I get the
He won a supporting role.
Emmy,
right?
Too. He won an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Single Appearance, for Roots. I believe he won an Oscar also. I think he might have been the Oscar for the Best Supporting Actor, became the first African-American to win that category. I think Denzel won at, right after in Glory. So, yeah, man, you know, very iconic actor. Yeah, I mean, what can you say? This guy, he's been in practically every iconic thing you can think of. Like, probably the most actor we lost since Carl Weathers recently.
Yeah.
So yeah, another iconic actor, you know, passing away.
Rest yeah, I remember. Peace. I remember him from Of Course Roots.
Mm-hmm.
What's that military movie?
Yeah, Oscar and an Officer and a Gentleman. Don't
worry. No, not that one. No, this one was the.
Oh,
is
that the
like
black one?
There's an airplane. There's an airplane movie. Or a jet movie. Golden Eagle or something like that.
Let me see if I could. I'm pretty sure you're not talking about Top Gun, right?
No, that's not Top Gun. This was like Eagle, something Eagle.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to look. He was in Bonanza, Jefferson's, like I mentioned. Let me see. Go to film. Let me try to find his filmography. It's gonna be a long list because you know
it was in the '80s.
He's been in a lot of stuff, so it's gonna be a long list. But let me see if I could get through it quickly. Let's see. Eighties. Iron Eagle.
Iron Eagle. There you go.
Sound like the Nets broadcast of Iron Eagle.
Yeah, that movie used to be on Channel 11, WPIX in New York all the time, I remember, as a kid.
You said Tom Cruise was in this movie.
No. He wasn't in that movie. I was thinking of Top Gun, but I don't think he was in Iron Eagle.
He's the star of it, Louis Gossett Jr. Tom Cruise isn't in this movie.
Yeah, no. I was thinking of Top Gun, but Tom Cruise was not in Iron Eagles. Gossett, and there was another actor that was in that movie at the time. I'm trying to think who that was.
In Iron Eagle?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was another actor alongside him.
I'm going to check right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything that jumps out at me. I see Jason Gedrick, David Schuchette, Larry B. Scott, Carolyn Lagerfeld, Tom Thompson. I don't know any of these actors.
I'm looking soon. There was another actor that co-starred with him in that movie. Oh, well.
Let me see if there's more of a... Yeah, I don't see any of these. Louis Gossett Jr. is the only person that really stand out to me in this movie, in that movie. There's an Iron Eagle, too. Let's see if this one has more of a big names. Nobody that stands out to me as well.
Yeah, that's the movie I know him most from.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm thinking of Jason Gedrick. Jason Gedrick was the guy that I'm thinking that was alongside him.
And what other movies was he in?
Man, he was in like some smaller stuff that you probably haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't really a big name like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like in, I know he was in Backdraft with Kurt Russell. It was
mm-hmm.
like a firefighter
yeah,
movie,
I heard that movie
back in the early 90s.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Yeah, he was in some movies you probably wouldn't have seen. Risky mm-hmm. Business. He was in that movie with Tom Cruise.
I've heard of that, but I've never seen it.
But I think Iron Eagle is probably one of his bigger films.
Mm. But yeah, what was I gonna say? Yeah, he was also in the Raising the Sun movie.
Oh yeah, that's right.
With
yeah.
Sidney Poitier, was he the
yeah.
son? Was he the son? Let me see. Cause I remember the son turned out to be a famous person. It probably was him. Let me see. Yeah, that movie, of course, had Sidney Poitier, Ruby Dee. Let me see. In 61. Might have been his first acting gig, too. Oh, yeah, it is his film debut. Yeah, it was based on the Lorraine Hansberry book of the same name. Yeah, this was his acting debut. But yeah, rest in peace. Rest in peace to another icon.
Yeah, movie one of our great actors.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back, and you know we'll switch gears and talk a little baseball. We'll be right back. After this break.
Ball game.
Why'd you lose all our cards? I tried my best.
Well, you lost all our cards.
Kids, good.
Go ahead, Doc. Do it.
Do it!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ramo, and of course, Macaulay's on the other line as well.
Hey.
Glad to have you back, and we're shifting gears. We're talking about a guy who's won titles in New York as a member of the 86 Mets and, of course, with the, 96 Yankees. So, we're of course, talking about the doctor, Dwight Gooden, a man who made a name for himself in the city of New York, in Queens, dominating the game like very few, dare I say, at that point. I mean, this guy, he debuted in 84, started the All-Star game with his future battery mate, Gary Carter, when he was still a member of the Montreal Expos at that time. I mean, this guy, he started the All-Star game in 84, won the Rookie of the Year that year as well. 85, he won the Cy Young. And then, of course, 86 capped off that amazing three-year period with a world championship. Unfortunately, the last world championship in Mets history as we speak right now. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, he had off-the-field stuff, issues, which, of course, led to him being, suspended, I think, in 87. And then he, banned for a year in 94, if I'm not mistaken. It was 95. 95, and then, of course, he would go to the Yankees. And in his retirement, rather I should say his number retirement ceremony last Saturday, he revealed, there was at least four or five different times that he tried to come back to the Mets. He tried to come back after he his suspension was over. You know, Steve Phillips and the Wilpons said no. So then he signed with the Yankees. You know, end up throwing the no-hitter with the Yankees, which was the last game his father saw him pitch before his father passed away, who was a very integral in, igniting the passion that Dwight had for baseball, along with his nephew, Gary Sheffield, who, believe it or not, is just 4 years younger than him. So it was they were brothers in a sense. But yeah, he came after every stint he did, he tried to come back. And then the fourth or fifth time after, before he won the championship, in 2000, he tried to go back to the Mets. They said no. After he won the World Series, in 2000, he tried to come back again. But he was even willing to sign a spring training, go to the minor leagues and prove himself. And they, Steve Phillips and the Wilpon said no. So, it just perpetuated that distance that the organization, had with him and Darryl Strawberry at the time because of their, their past, And the good thing I liked about, Steve Cohen is that he's embracing the past and he's righting the wrongs of the Mets past, which included in, the Mets, inducting both, Darryl and Doc into the Hall of Fame a few years ago, and then of course, he just retired, Doc's number on Saturday, and then of course, June 1st, they're going to retire Strawberry's number, teen. So no one will wear that number. So, all in all, it was a good ceremony. Doc, some of his old player, his former teammates were there. Mookie Wilson, of course, Ron Darling, Keith Hernandez, Gary Carter's widow was there representing Gary. It was a great touching ceremony, and the Mets capped it off with a win. What's your thoughts on Doc Gooden's retirement number and his career?
I thought it was well deserved, and thought it was something that should have been done years ago. I don't know why it was done so late now. You know, he's definitely one of your best pitchers ever, one of the best pitchers that we've seen in baseball here in New York. Well deserved. You know, I think he deserves it after all that he's been through, on the field and off the field. Dwight Gooden deserves to have his name placed in New York sports or New York Met history, ingrained forever. So I think it was a great honor for him.
Beautifully said, Mac. I can't dispute anything that you said. I mean, it's long overdue, but unfortunately the Wilpons and Steve Phillips and other people, other than that, they wanted to distance themselves from, both of the guys who were huge part of them winning, a championship in 86 and, the greatest era in Mets history, that the 80s, man, that was, yeah, the Mets took New York by storm.
Yeah.
Set a blueprint, how to dominate dominate in style in New York, but yeah, they wanted to distance themselves from the team. And ever since, Frank Cashin, blew up the 86 team, the Mets to this day still haven't recovered, cause they had a talented team in 88. But like Strawberry said, they didn't have the heart of the 86 team. They were a good team, but they didn't have the heart that the 86, the never say die attitude. Even though they did have most of the 86 players on that team, but yeah, it's hard to have chemistry, in baseball. Talent will, will get you far, but, once you have chemistry and it'll take you to that next level.
Yeah.
But long overdue. Darryl and Doc's number should have been retired a long, long, long time ago. I mean, and the most important thing is both guys, they turned their life around, Darryl's a pastor now, and Doc, he's back to his frame of mind, mentally, physically healthy, and having a positive outlook. And the most important thing that he talked about was that the Mets fans, they never gave up on him, even when he gave up on himself. So, I mean, it's good to see. It's good that he finally got his, he got to finish his story and overcame all the hardship that he went through. Yes, some of it was of course self-inflicted. When you're dealing with addiction, you gotta point the thumb as well. But the most important thing is that he acknowledged his shortcomings and he overcame it and was upfront about it, and tell people his story as a cautionary tale, not to do drugs and you know, and, you know, alcohol and substance abuse and all that stuff. So, you know, it's not how you start. You know, it's how you finish. So, you know, props to him and Dale Strawberry that they, you know, they turned their life around. And, you know, they're both getting their time in the sun. You know, they're getting their redemption because that's why Doc wanted to sign so many times with the Mets because, you know, he knew he let the fans down, you know, with his actions. And, you know, he just wanted a chance to thank the fans. And, I mean, even one of the times he was even willing to sign a one-day contract and the Mets still turned him down. Like, it was grimy how they was treating him, especially at the, you know, at the tail end. Like, one of the times he was going to sign a go in the minor leagues to prove himself. And then the last time he was going to try to sign just a one-day contract, and they still wouldn't even let him do that. Like, I mean, it was just, what's the redemption? Like, they didn't even give him a chance to redeem himself. But, you know,
yeah.
Thank God, yeah. You know, Steve Cohen and his wife, Alex, you know, they rectified, the situation. So he finally got to thank the fans. He was choked up about it, you know. And, you know, and another thing is Dale Strawberry, I don't know if you heard, he showed up. He showed up to the ceremony.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And he, 1 month after he had, you know, a heart attack, against his doctor's advice, he went to see him, and it's just a testament of how now Dak and Daryl's relationship is exactly how we assumed it was back in the days when they weren't as close as we thought they were. But now that they both went through all their hardships, and Daryl being there for Doc when his mother was passing away years ago. Their relationship definitely blossomed to the level that we all assumed that it always was. And, you know, I'm happy that their, you know, their relationship and friendship is at an all-time high. So, you know, props to both men.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're able to rekindle their relationship after years of, you know, some I know there's been some bad blood between those two over the years, so I'm glad to see these two men come together again for a right cause, and to see Gooden finally get his number retired by the Mets. Good to see. Well deserved, and glad the Mets finally did the right thing.
And you know that's how it is. With, you know, when you really tight with someone, you're like brothers. You know, you have your ups and downs. You have your good days. You have your bad days. You know, but most important thing is that you bury the hatchet while you're both alive.
Yeah, true that.
So I mean, props to them. You know, props to both men. God willing, Doc will be able to return the favor on June 1st when you know, Daryl gets his number retired. Which
If Daryl and Dwight can rekindle their relationship, maybe we could see Roger Clemens and Mike Piazza. You know, rekindle their friendship.
I don't think they ever had a friendship, to my knowledge.
Never know.
Maybe. I mean, hey, the first step is Roger Clemens admitting that he didn't think it was a ball. He knew it was a broken baseball bat. Not to mention plunking Piazza in the head in 2000. I think me and Clemens have to reconcile first before him and Piazza. I mean, man. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about him acknowledging that it was actually a bat he knew he was throwing, you know, or at least he had road rage or something, because this guy is a Hall of, you know, if he didn't have his off-the-field stuff, his alleged off the field, you know, steroid use and all that stuff, he would have been a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, this guy's thrown the ball, I don't know, 5,000 times maybe, pitches. I mean, like, mm-hmm. this guy struck out, what, over 3,000 people?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy knows the difference between fielding a ball and a broken bat. I mean, I think there should be a slight difference between the two. And then not to mention, he threw it at Piazza. He didn't throw it to Tino Martinez, like, which is what you usually do on a ground ball. You field the ball and you throw it to most likely first base or whatever base to record an out.
And in this defense, when you watch the play closely, so the bat broke, right? And because you have to watch the play many times now to realize what he was implying. So when Piazza's bat broke, he thought the ball was coming back at him. It actually turned into a sharp bat, and once he realized it was the bat that came back at him, he ended up just throwing it away. I don't think he was throwing it to first. He was throwing the sharp bat away because maybe he didn't want to get hurt when he realized that it wasn't the ball that was coming back at him. So that's what I think he meant by that he thought it was the ball. But when he threw the bat when he realized it was the bat, not the ball, and he threw it off the field, Piazza just happened to be running along, and the bat just ended up in front of him. I don't think Clemens intentionally aimed that bat at Piazza. If you look at it, it looks like he was just throwing it away because he realized it wasn't the ball. That's how I look at it now. And even what's his name? Was saying that what's the broadcaster's name? Not Joe Buck. McCarver.
Tim McCarver.
Tim McCarver was explaining the same thing. He was saying that when he realized it was a sharpened bat rather than the ball, he threw it away. I mean, if a sharpened bat comes towards you, you're not going to immediately try to glove it. You're just going to throw it away, right? What are you going to do with a sharpened bat that comes straight at you?
But for you to throw a ball, you have to field it, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he thought the ball was also coming. He thought the ball was coming through. The ball, where did the ball go, first of all? The ball never even came to him, did it?
I have no idea where the ball went.
That's the thing. I don't remember where the ball went either. So he thought somehow the ball was coming, but it was a sharpened bat. And, of course, you're not going to feel the sharpened bat. You're going to throw it away, right? You're going
to
hurt yourself.
Before you throw something away, you have to field it.
Well, the bat came right at him. Remember, the bat came straight, the broken
yeah,
bat came
I remember
straight
that.
To him. Yeah, so he tried to get rid of it. And when he tried to get rid of it, that's when Piazza was running towards first base. And it happened to be in Piazza's way, you know? So McCarver has an explanation as well. If you go back and watch that again and hear McCarver explain that exact play, you'll figure that it probably wasn't intentional. I mean, it's very reactive though what he did there. So I'm not in his mind. I can't tell like what his intention was, but if I'm in his position, I probably would have did the same thing. I mean, Piazza probably thought he was trying to aim it at him. I don't, but, you know, because of what happened early in the season where Piazza got plunked in the head by
That's exactly
Clemens,
what I was about to talk
he,
about.
He, of course, most likely would think that Clemens was trying to hit him again, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. So you can't go back and change it right now. You know, can't go back in time and change it. You know, what's happened has happened. So, but
do you
that's
think
my stance on it.
Do you think he plunked him on the head on purpose? That Subway Series regular season.
So in that instance, I think he was intentionally trying to hit him. I don't think he was trying to hit him in the head. I think the ball just hit him in the head. I think he was trying to like go up high. Yeah, definitely Clemens was trying to do that for sure. But did I think he wanted to aim at his head? No, you know, it just happened to hit him in his head, you know. Clemens, you know, he's a flamethrower, so you know, when you throw up high like that, stuff like that is going to happen. And Clemens, he ended up just missing really bad with that throw. So, but his intention was to throw at Piazza, definitely. Yeah.
Didn't Joe Torre used to call Pedro Martinez and Roger Clemens headhunters when both of those guys were a member of the Red Sox?
Yeah, I don't remember Pedro. I remember Pedro trying to go up high and trying to throw. I don't remember Pedro ever throwing at our heads, though, you know, to be honest with you.
I agree with that. I mean, he's plunked them, and
He's plunked us. I don't remember him, like, actually hitting anyone in the head. So, but all the time you see pitchers, like, when pitchers try to throw at the hitters, they misfire a lot, wide, sometimes behind the shoulder. I mean, didn't one of your guys, like, last year misfire at some guys over the head or something, over the hitter's head?
Yeah, and there was something like that today, this year too. Ramirez.
It happens all the time. Let's not act like it doesn't happen. It happens all the time where these pitchers are misfiring when they're potentially trying to hit people.
Yeah, but the problem is that what's his name? Piazza owned him. Piazza owned him like a game of Monopoly.
That's what I'm saying. Clemens was trying to hit him. But his intent of trying to hit Piazza misfired where he hit him in the head. So, I mean, that's on Clemens. You know, I can't really defend that. But I'm saying, all I can say that his intention was to hit him. You know, but as far as hitting him in the head, I don't know if he meant to do that. Actually, you know.
Well, yeah, we can both agree that his intent was to hit him. His intent to hit him in the head and potentially kill him? Maybe not. I mean, unless if he was on roid rage and he wasn't seeing straight or something, that could be the reason possibly. But yeah, I mean, we can both agree that his intent was to hit him. Was his intent to hit him in the head? Like you said, only Roger Clemens could tell you. And maybe he'll misremember what happened, so I don't know. But
sometimes hitters overreact also, you know, when they think they're being hit. I mean, you remember in that 2003 ALCS where that brawl broke out where Manny thought Rick Clemens was trying to hit him in the head, and the ball wasn't even close to Manny's head, and that started a whole brawl
where Pedro threw Don Zimmer,
yeah. So, you know, sometimes hitters do overreact at times as well.
I mean, that is true.
Yeah, so, you know, off topic, yeah. Go back to Dwight.
The modern time?
Yeah, Dwight Gooden. Dwight Gooden's the honor.
Again, it was a well-deserved honor for Doc. And hopefully, you know, after Strawberry, they can retire some more numbers. You know, hopefully Gary Carter will get his chance next. And, of course, we know Wright's going to definitely get his number retired. We'll see what other Met legends they'll do in the future. But speaking of the Mets, hopefully Alonso could be one of the could be somebody in the future they do that honor with, because, you know, he talked about, you know, how cool it would be if, you know, he could retire as a Met and have his number retired. The Met game is going as we speak. The Mets, you know, they've been playing well lately. They swept the Pirates. They won four series in a row. But as I'm talking right now, they're playing against the Dodgers right now. They just blew a 4-0 lead in the sixth. The Dodgers just tied the game up 4-4. It's not looking good. The Mets look like they're Mets have won, I think, eight of their last 11, probably. But yeah, right now it looks like they're gonna lose this game. It looks like, but it's still 4-4. Bottom six. Reed Garrett, a reliever who usually pitches well, he's blown this game up to the point now it's a tie game.
And the Mets been playing well lately too.
Yeah, they have been. They won four series in a row after starting off 0-5. They beat the Braves 2 out of 3. They beat the Royals, I think, 2 out of 3. Also, if I'm not mistaken. They swept the Pirates, and they overcame a 0-4 lead. I mean, a 0-5 deficit to start the season. To basically bounce back and become 10-8. They're currently third place in the National League East. They've righted the ship. You know, the offense was horrible, the pitching was horrible, the defense was horrible, but after the first five games, they've turned it around. Severino got his first win as a Met in the last game when they swept. The Mets, you know, they're firing on all cylinders, highlighted by a 16-run game that they beat down. They put on the Braves in the last game of that series. So, and then Pete Alonso hit four home runs in three games. I think last week. So the Mets are, you know, they're playing well, but right now they're the game is tied 4-4, and you know, they blew a 4-0 lead, and now they're gonna bat in the seventh. But the Dodgers came back and tied it. I think they scored three runs in this inning, maybe even all four of it. I'd have to double check. The Mets, they gotta bounce back from this blowing a 4-0 lead. This ain't a good look at all. The Mets, so far they've been playing well. I think they've won, four or five in a row. I lost count. Props to the Mets. They're playing well.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can keep it up and win this series in LA. Shifting gears, the Yankees, Yankees are doing well as well. Soto hit another home run to help the Yankees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Yankees won 5-3. But the big news out of the Yankee camp is the iconic announcer, John Sterling. He abruptly ended his Hall of Fame career a few days ago, and he announced his retirement effective immediately. He's going to be honored later today at Yankee Stadium, and maybe he might officially call an inning or so, and maybe cap up his career, you know, expectantly, because when he retired, nobody knew he was going to retire, and according to him, you know, he's going to be 86, I think, in July 4th. And, he's tired of the grind of, you know, going to work. So, best of wishes to John Sterling, the very iconic announcer with a lot of iconic calls, Bernie Go Boom, you know, Bernie Goes Boom, you know, and an A-bomb for A-Rod, and the Yankees win.
Hey,
and all this,
I don't appreciate you as a Mets fan doing John Sterling calls. Leave that up to me, okay?
To do the calls.
An A-bomb from A-Rod, El Capitan. Burn, baby, burn. The Bambino. The Giambino. A thriller from Godzilla. Some of my favorite calls. But my favorite one is a text message from Mark Teixeira. I mean, John Stewart, he's going to be missed. He's our best broadcaster, announcer ever. And he's been doing it for well over 30 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is just with the Yankees. He also broadcast with the Braves, broadcasted with the Nets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's had, according to him, he's had like a 64-year career. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, but he's had a great career just with the Yankees alone,
mm-hmm.
you know, broadcasting their games. He was the voice. On the radio, he was the voice of the Yankees, of Yankee
mm-hmm.
baseball. And he will be missed. And I will check that out later today before I head out to the Knicks game to
mm-hmm.
see the Yankees honor him. But, yeah, I mean, there won't be – I can't see anyone, you know, replacing him and doing his calls like the way he did them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely an icon.
El como dulce.
Yeah, yeah.
Candy.
Yeah, Bobby Abreu, right. Mm-hmm. That's funny. He very iconic career.
Yes, indeed.
Let's take another break, and we'll dive right into the Knicks, as you were just talking about. We'll be right back. You listen to Sports Urban Legend with me, William Ramo, and Macaulay Matthew, and we'll be right back talking some Knicks basketball.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Sharper with Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper. It's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that cake. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. They go New York, go New York, go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. Again, I am William Ramo, and of course, Mac is still here. And the New York Knicks, man, the New York Knicks, they are back in the playoffs again. It's like, what, the third year in a row, or three of the last 4 years we've been in the playoffs?
Yeah, three of the last 4 years.
So, yeah, props to the Knicks. Unfortunately, Randall's hurt. He's gone for the rest of the year. And, you know, this time we're going to be facing the 76ers. I think this is the first time we're facing them since 89, if I'm not mistaken. Props to the New York Knicks. And there's only one way that the Knicks can it looks like the Mets have just taken the lead again. Francisco Lindor has endured a two-run home run, and the Mets lead 6-4. Need I say more? But back to the Knicks. Do you know what's the number one key that the Knicks need to do to win this series?
Well, I mean, they have to stop Embiid, Joel Embiid. That's if Joel Embiid is fully healthy, which it doesn't appear as he is, but they have to contain him. I think if they can contain him, then they'll be okay for this series, you know, because that's the number one threat for the Sixers.
You are correct. You stole the words from my mind. This is what the Knicks need to do. In order for the Knicks to win this series, the Knicks must impede the scoring of Joel Embiid in order to succeed. So that's it right there. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
They gotta stop him at all costs. You know, he's banged up. I think the 76ers won like what, seven games in a row. I should say eight, because they won this game too. They won seven regular season games and then this play-in. Yeah, he's still hurt, and then of course the Heat, which was the other option that we could have faced, and playoff Jimmy, little Jimmy Butler, you know, he's hurt.
Yeah, he's out for the next several weeks.
Yeah, so.
But they're going to, I mean, they beat the Bulls tonight, so they're going to be playing the Celtics, so we won't have to worry about them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Knicks, they got to stop Embiid at all costs. And then they'll just have to worry about Maxey. So, I think the Knicks have a chance. If they could stop Embiid, then I think we'll be able to handle the rest of the 76ers.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, let's go Knicks. Let's go New York. Go New York. Go New York. Go. And congratulations to the Rangers. They faced the Capitals, their old foes. They won the President's Trophy recently. Congratulations. They finished their best regular season ever, record ever.
New York is on fire right now. I got the Knicks in the playoffs. We got the Rangers in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees and Mets playing well. Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Knicks, rather the Rangers, they finished with their best record ever, 55-23-4. They're going to be facing Washington Capitals with a 40-31-11 record. And, yeah, the it's looking like 94, like the song I just played in the break, you know. That's the last time the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, and the Knicks was unfortunately one win away from winning the NBA Finals title. So we're hoping this time, hopefully 30 years later, both teams can hoist the title. You know, the Rangers can hoist the Stanley Cup again. And hopefully the Knicks can finally win the Larry O'Brien Trophy, because the last time the Knicks won in 70 and 73, it had another name. It was never the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So it would be nice if the Knicks ever championship, they could finally hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy and finally have a ticker tape parade, which unfortunately the 70s Knicks teams never had, which is strange enough, but, you know, let's hopefully win the title first and then worry about a potential ticker tape parade.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we'll see what happens with that. So props to the Rangers, props to the Knicks, making it to the playoffs, and hopefully they'll have a deep run like it was in the 90s. But, yeah, with that, what was I going to say? With the back on the Mets quickly, the Mets they have some injuries with Beatty. They hope he'll avoid the IL. And also Alvarez got hurt in today's game with a thumb injury, so they're hoping both of these guys who are very you know, who are both great prospects with the Mets, who both played last year and a huge part of the success of the Mets team this year, won't have any serious injuries. And Rayleigh just struck out. It looked like Ohtani right now. Yep, struck out your boy Ohtani, man. How you feel about that?
My boy, yeah.
You tried to sign him, didn't you?
I believe Mets tried to sign him as well. No,
I think so. I believe so. But,
so then
you know,
both of our boys in that case.
Well, he played in the American League, so you know that's your league. He's out of my league, but now he's in my league.
He's in your league right now.
Well, when he was signing, he was out of my league. He was in the American League, so we couldn't get him.
No.
He was out. He thought he was out of our league, so he went joined the National League. So. But in any case, it's good to see both, you know, all the teams, you know, our teams are finally doing well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I obviously the Jets and Giants aren't playing, so I guess by default they're doing well too. But, yeah, we're going to take, I'd say, one more final break, and then we'll dive right into, you know, the WrestleMania talk. And also the AEW CM Punk controversy. All right, so we'll be right back quickly.
Do you smell what The Rock is...
If you smell what The Rock is cooking...
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Rameau and Macaulay Matthew. Let's dive right into WrestleMania. All right, what's your thoughts on the pay-per-view event?
I thought it was a very good pay-per-view event. One of the better WrestleManias that we've seen in a while. Night one was exciting. I mean, you went to this viewing event where you watched it, and I thought night one was very good. Night two was good as well, but not as good as night one. I thought there was more action on night one. But what saved night two was definitely the ending there. We'll go over here in a bit.
100%. Let's dive right into it. Rhea Ripley defeats Becky Lynch to retain the Women's World Championship. We saw that come in. Eitan down one title. And, of course, Awesome Truth. Congratulations to The Miz and R-Truth finally winning, a match at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
So congrats to R-Truth. That was a big moment. So both teams won a title to split the unified WWE Tag Team Championships. Rey Mysterio and Andrade defeated Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar in a tag team match. Jay defeated Jimmy as I
thought. That match was kind of weak. I thought that match would have been better.
Oh, man, that was the worst match of the night. No doubt about that.
That
sure.
Shit was much better than it was than advertised.
Oh, yeah, that stunk. Jay Cargill, Bianca Belair, Naomi defeated Damage Control, which is, of course, the Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Six-woman tag team match. It delivered, you know.
Yeah, that match was very good.
Yeah, that was a good match. Sami Zayn defeated Gunther. That was a very good match. Definitely had a Rocky theme to it, with Sami Zayn, celebrating with his wife after the victory, you know, being the underdog. Gunther playing the role of Ivan Drago, and I guess you could say Apollo Creed in the first two Rocky movies as well. So Sami Zayn won the Intercontinental title. And then, of course, the highlight of the both nights of WrestleMania, the Bloodline, The Rock, coming out of retirement to team up with his cousin, Roman Reigns, and defeated Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins in the tag team match of all time, WWE history. And, as a result, Bloodline rules. And, man, what didn't happen in this match? Rock dominated this match. It was just an impressive match. I can't say anything bad about that match. I mean, the right team won. You know, the Rock, got the pin on Cody Rhodes. It was an awesome moment. And as a result of that match, there are two men in wrestling history that main event a WrestleMania in four different decades. Do you know who they are?
Wait, repeat the question?
There's only two men in WWE history that main event four different main events in four different decades.
Oh, yeah. Well, one's Hulk Hogan, of course. Right?
Nope.
Because Hulk Hogan did it in the 80s, 90s. He did it against The Rock. Well, actually, no, he did three times, actually.
Exactly.
Roman Reigns would be the one, and I guess...
No.
The Rock would be the other one, right? Well,
no,
not Roman Reigns, sorry. The Rock... The Rock would be one.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying there's another one, right?
Yes. Oh, boy, the Dodgers are going to take the lead right here. Did he fly out? Yeah, he flew out. Oh, wow. He almost hit a three-run home. Oh, who the heck just hit, almost hit a, missed a three-run home run? So the Mets walk away with a 6-4 lead as we speak. Did you figure out who the other person is?
Wait, two men to main event WrestleMania in four different decades?
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, like you said, The Rock. Rock main evented WrestleMania 15,
yeah.
99.
Undertaker.
Yeah, that was a
of
layup.
Of course, yeah, because Undertaker's been there since the 90s.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, The Rock main evented the Hulk Hogan thing, even though it was the second-to-last match instead of the Jericho and Triple H match. And then, of course, you know, the WrestleMania 17 and what was it, WrestleMania 19. But of course, he came back for Cena and then this one. So do you know what the Rock record is?
Not off the top of my head.
I guess I'll give you that to ponder next week.
Okay.
Alright, I'll do you think he has a winning record or a losing
record?
Do you think he has a winning record or a losing record?
I think he has a losing record.
Alright, I'll let you ponder on that next week. Because we gotta go get through whatchamacallit.
You should just give us the answer because I'm a cheat. I'll give you the answer next week.
I looked at it days ago. If my memory serves me right, I think he's 7-5, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he has a winning record at WrestleMania. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because all the times I've seen Rock, I remember Rock losing WrestleMania a lot.
Exactly.
Either Stone Cold or Brock Lesnar, you know. So.
No, he never faced Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
That's right. So who am I thinking? I guess I'm thinking of Stone Cold then.
Yeah, he's lost. His biggest matches, his biggest wins are non-title matches. You know, he beat the Sultan, which was Rikishi, WrestleMania 13.
Oh, he lost to John Cena at WrestleMania too.
Right. WrestleMania 14. He originally lost to Ken Shamrock, but then they reversed the call because he didn't remove the ankle lock, the Shamrock ankle lock on The Rock, so that the referees reversed the call. So he won that. So that's 2-0. He lost to Austin 15, lost to Triple H in that Fatal 4 with Big Show and Mankind, or Mick Foley, to be more exact. 2001, he lost Stone Cold again, WrestleMania 17 and 19. Won against Hogan in WrestleMania 18. WrestleMania 19, he finally won. WrestleMania 20, he lost with Mankind, with Mick Foley, against the Evolution, Ric Flair, Batista, and Randy Orton. Then WrestleMania 28, he beat John Cena. WrestleMania 29, he lost to John Cena. Unfortunately, I saw that match firsthand. Lost the title. So Rock has never won four opportunities with the title on the line. Whether he was the champion or challenger, he lost all four times. And then this one. Oh, no, actually, he beat Eric Rowan for the record, six-second match. And then, of course, this match, night one, he beat Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins alongside Roman Reigns. So as a result, Bloodline rules. Then night two, Drew McIntyre defeated Seth freaking Rollins. Drew McIntyre gloated. Then he lost the title to Damian Priest, cashing in the title, the Money in the Bank to win the title. So that was a huge moment, which I saw that coming. So congrats to Damian Priest winning the title.
Yeah, that was well-deserved. Definitely deserved it.
Mm-hmm. The Pride brought Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford defeated the final testament, which is Karrion Kross, and Akam and Rezar, AOP, Authors of Pain, LA Knight defeated AJ Styles. They had the rematch on Friday Night SmackDown. AJ Styles, you know, won the rematch. Logan Paul defeated Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Didn't see that one coming to retain the United States Championship. Bayley defeated Io Sky to become the new WWE Women's Championship. We saw that coming. Congratulations to Bayley right there. And last but not least, no shocker there, Cody Rhodes finishes the story, defeats Roman Reigns with Bloodline rules to become the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. So congratulations to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, congrats. Finish the story.
But the biggest thing that happened in that match was, you know, as we expected, the Rock would interfere in the match. The Usos would interfere in the match. And when The Rock was going to John Cena popped up. Rock bombed John Cena.
Right.
I think he people elbowed him too, if I'm not mistaken, right? Can't even remember.
I don't know. I don't know if he people elbowed him.
He rock bombed him for sure. And
he
then
definitely rock bombed him, yeah.
Yeah. So he was going to whoop Cody Rhodes with the belt again, and then that's when the second man who's main evented in four WrestleMania.
The Undertaker.
What you said?
The Undertaker.
Oh, yes, The Undertaker. And, yeah, that was a shocking moment. The rumors stated that it was going to be Stone Cold in that spot, you know, with their huge rivalry, and that would have been awesome. But in this case, I think it did work out that it was Undertaker, you know, like, you know, for, you know, the Supernatural. I mean, he's WrestleMania. He's the real Mr. WrestleMania. So it made sense for him to interfere in that match. And Roman Reigns, he had a chance to beat Cody Rhodes by hitting him with a chair, but instead he attacked Seth Rollins wearing the Shield uniform, and that got him distracted for Cody Rhodes to hit the crossroads on him to finally finish the story. So, you know, props to Cody Rhodes finally winning the story. And then on the night after on Raw, The Rock acknowledges that he's going to go away for a while, and he teases that he's going to face Cody Rhodes, whether Cody Rhodes is the champion or not. So that's something to look forward to. And then on this Monday Night Raw, Rhea Ripley unfortunately revealed that she has to vacate the title. So, you know, unfortunately, due to injuries suffered by the attack of Liv Morgan's Revenge Tour, Rhea Ripley had to vacate the title. And Solo Sikoa attacked Jey Uso, I think it was last week's SmackDown. And Tonga, I hope I said his name right. He made his WWE debut and attacked Jimmy out of the group, out of the Bloodline. So it looks like what's his name? So Sikoa is the new Tribal Chief. It looks like right now.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah.
He's going to form his own Bloodline.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's some division right there. And, yeah, I mean, all in all, it was a great WrestleMania. One of the best WrestleMania in many years. And, you know, props to The Rock, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and in Rock's opinion, the MVP of the WrestleMania 40, Seth freaking Rollins, and everybody involved. So props to them. The Hall of Fame, Paul Heyman did an epic speech.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, he was epic. The Rock was honored with the People's Championship, which he debuted at the night one of the WrestleMania 40. Ali's widow handed him the title, the People's Championship. The Rock inducted his grandma, Leah Maivia, to the Hall of Fame. Thunderbolt Patterson, did his speech. I'm trying to remember what else happened at that Hall of Fame that I'm. All in all, it was a great Hall of Fame. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a very good Hall of Fame. I loved the Paul Heyman speech. The Rock and Roll, not the Rock. I keep calling them Rock and
Roll.
Oh, yeah,
U.S. Express.
U.S. Express. And it's a tribute to Bray Wyatt there during that ceremony. Bull Nakano.
Oh, yes, Bull Nakano also. Yeah, congrats. Yeah, congrats to all the winner, the people that were inducted. They were all deserving, deserving.
Yeah. It was well deserved. It was a very good
Ali
open. Yeah,
as well. They were great. Oh, lastly, AEW, man. AEW finally revealed the footage of CM Punk's fight with Jack Perry. To me, they were 8 months too late. I mean, the story was dead. They might as well. They either were supposed to air it right after CM Punk was fired, or don't air it at all. Trying to make it into a storyline with FTR and the Young Bucks was a dumb idea. It validated what CM Punk was saying all along, that he didn't lunge at Tony Khan, so Tony Khan had no reason to quote unquote fear for his life. And CM Punk was main evented two shows, including two companies, even a company he hasn't worked for in 8 months. So,
That was strange. That was a strange thing to do, to release footage of that. For what reason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy. But with that, Mac, anything you'd like to say?
Everyone, just enjoy your weekend and check out my show, iMac. Check your local listings for that. And go Knicks.
All right, you heard the man. Let's go, Nick. Go New York. Go New York. Go. We'll give you our recap of our experience at the Garden next week. So check out iMac every Saturdays at 10. Check your local listings, and of course, come back every Saturdays at 11. And check out Sports Urban Legend with your hosts William Rameau and Macaulay Matthew. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau, and I'll see you guys. Peace.